So, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to this edition of Soccer Hub Talks. My name is Ricardo Albeira. I'm the CEO and founder of Soccer Hub. As already many of you know, Soccer Hub is an online education platform. We deliver many online courses for soccer coaches, soccer analysts, soccer scouts. Please visit us and get to know a bit better about what kind of offer do we have. Also, as you know, this is a live event, so we'll be able to ask questions to our speaker. You just have to introduce the questions on the chat box and I will be selecting some to introduce to the speaker. Before we start, I would ask you please to write on the chat box some information about yourself, such as the country that you are based in, and also some information about your job, if you are a coach, an analyst, or what is your connection with football, okay? So today we are here with Kay Brock. The subject is Schalke's talent development plan. Okay, and Kay Brock, he works at the youth department of the German club FC Schalke 04. Okay, so we will start just in a few seconds. Hello, Kay. Thank you very much for accepting our invitation. It's a huge pleasure to have you with us. You were just saying that usually you are at home working, but now with the kids going and running all over, it's harder. So thank you for being now at the Academy to be here with us. It's a huge pleasure to have you and to have the opportunity to learn also from you, okay? Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, hello, Ricardo. Hello, everyone.
Okay, so Kay, as usual, I did a long presentation, but could you please tell us a bit more what was your path to the current point that you are in now? How do you got to be on the youth department of Schalke?
It is a long path. I hope you took some time. So, I will give you a short view of over this. Yes, in 2002, during my sports studies, I started my career as a youth coach as an assistant in the age group of under 12 till under 14 at the German Football Federation training base in Bochum. This is the city where I did my study. And at the end of my studies, I joined Schalke in 2005. Okay. So now it's about a long, long time, 17 years here. And then first I started as an assistant in the under 13s. And then after 3 years became the head coach of the under 13s. And later I switched to the athletics department and coached the teams from under 12 till under 14. And in the meantime, I worked as a sports teacher at our partner school. But when the task and the project at Schalke became more and more extensive, I joined the club as a full-time coach and instructor. And at the moment, I'm a member of the methodology department, and I take care of the training contents of the youth department and the further education of coaches at Schalke and abroad.
So, okay, I know, I'm aware that you also deliver education to the coaches, that you are a coach educator. Here at Soccer Hub, we try to do the same. We deliver some online courses for coaches also. But in your opinion, and we know that football is changing a lot, but what kind of content do you believe that the modern youth soccer coach should master now, you know? Because I'm aware of all the technologies and things like that. So what do you believe that now it's mandatory for the youth coach to develop and to have as content to get along well in their job? Okay.
Yes. Yes, I know people say that football has changed a lot in the recent years, but some certain conditions have always remained the same. The size of the pitch, the ball, the number of the players, the rules, the playing time, the surface. It all stays nearly the same. But nevertheless, we are seeing a change in the way of the game it's played. And the players are now physically well-trained. Their tactical understanding has gone to the last detail. They have to be able to apply techniques in the highest pressure situations. And these are high challenges in their perception, creativity, and decision-making. And it is precisely these things that a youth coach must take into his work. A coach must be able to train his players holistically, regardless of formation or system, so that the player can solve any situation alone or with his partners. And this holistic approach to training is what we pursue at Schalke. The coach must therefore be able to combine these parts of techniques, tactics, fitness, and emotion in this holistic way. It's a challenging task we have to solve.
Yeah, you were saying that, okay, your perspective is a holistic perspective. I understand that. In your school, in the youth department, do you have coaches that are specialists of certain age group, or all the coaches should be able to work in different age groups? What do you believe, Kay? Specialist coach for age groups or not?
We have specialists for the age groups.
Okay.
Yes, because the modern youth football and the coaches, the job is so multifaceted that you must have special skills for each age groups, because they have special needs, special interests, special view of the life in their development. Yes, you should have specialists in there.
Okay, in each age group, we know that the coaches faces different challenges. Myself, I am a father, I have a 12 years old kid, and I still have some challenges because all of the connection with the internet and with the technologies. But in your opinion, what are the biggest challenges in youth coaching at the moment, Kay?
The biggest challenge in football education is that we have to train players for the football that will be played in 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
So we have to see that the players get tools to deal with the challenges of the ever-changing game. Well, that's why it's creativity, personality, the athletic performance that are important factors in our training, so that the players are well equipped for the all situations they can come up in the next 10 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. And we have to do all these, even though the players have less time than before. They have school, leisure time, family, and sport, and all these are in competition with each other in terms of time. And so we have to use the time when they train with us more offensively. Mm-hmm. So that is a very big challenge. No time and more challenges, and yes, we must do it more efficiently. Okay.
You must have like a crystal ball, right? To
yeah. More than one.
Yeah, how the future will be. And you were talking about playing time, you know, because some time ago I visited Benfica. I have some friends over there, and they were saying that 20 years ago, when a kid went to the academy, he already played many, many hours, because he would play on the streets, he would play, well, everywhere now. And now, when they go to the academy, they have to teach them how to run, how to do basic things that we, because I believe that you are almost the same age as me, that we learned on the streets, and we learned playing. Is that one of the biggest challenges also, okay, to have more time with the players to teach what they are not learning on the streets? Okay.
It's one of the challenges we have to deal with. The day of a kid is structured from the first minute they wake up. They have to eat, they have to go to school. The school time is from 8 till 4 p.m. Then they go home, make some homeworks, and then they go to the pitch, to the training, and they train, I think, 3 or 4 times a week, and there's less time to play with the friends, to play for free and for themselves, and there are not so many possibilities to create their own mobility or their own motoric skills, so we have to handle this in the academy. We have to try to compromise all these things in a training session.
Let me ask you another thing, okay? Is it usual, for instance, once again in Benfica, they deliver some kind of dance lessons in the academy, you know, to learn new aspects of like flexibility, rhythm, you know? Do you use those kinds of things also in your academy, or you believe that kids should learn playing football and with nothing else different, okay?
You know that the Germans can't dance. No, I think it's very important to give the kids a multi-sportive education. It's not only about dancing or running or playing football. So it must be multi-sportive, and especially in the younger ages, in the underage and under 12, we have special sports days for them so that they can do different sports. They can play handball, they can play basketball, they can play table tennis, they can do track and field. And so we try to give them a mix of multi-sportive education. Yes. And I think the more they learn about multi-sportive motoric things, they can use it later on in the education and in the development of as a football player.
So we are getting into the long-term players development plan. What is the plan in Schalke, and what you believe that should be included in that plan, Kay?
Yes, the plan is to develop so many players that make the way into the first team. This is the master plan. Okay. And the players, they spend about 10 or 12 years of training to make this step. And in order to use these years as good as they can, we have developed a methodological principles for our work at Schalke. Maybe I can explain it to you. We have four topics. So the first is the game is the starting point and the goal of our training and our thinking about training. So every form of training is based on the requirements and process of the game. The dynamics, the intensities, the interactions are adapted to real situations. So we are really close to the game. In this way, the players can find and apply what they have learned directly in the game. Okay. The second is, so we try to have a good combination of game forms and exercise forms. So it's a close combine of them. We give the players the opportunity to learn and try out and improve skills in a very high density. And in this way, the player can apply and implement what they have learned in a variety of situations. The third is we try to have a individualized development. So in the development of players, we pay attention to the personal aspects and try to manage them individually without losing the sight of the development of the whole team, of course. But if the individual develops better, the whole team will also benefit. And the fourth point is that we try to make the training right for the age and the level skills the players have. So every age and every training level has its own characteristics. We talked about this. So these must be adapted and trained appropriately. So the developmental stage, training age, and at top level and biological age play a big role. So we make bio banding and things like this. So we try to have a look at the biological age and on the level skills also.
Okay, so that's a small perspective. I'm sure that in the future, you will have to, or you will be able to explain this in more detail in an online course for Soccer Hub. So guys, keep connected with us so we can have in the future more information about this methodology with Kay. We have here some questions. You addressed a bit this issue when you were talking about what kind of content do you deliver to the kids in the different age groups. But Rastislav is asking, how much emphasis in your development do you place on players' discovery and implementation of problem-solving skills in game situations? Is that something common that you usually introduce in the training sessions, Kay?
That the players should discover for themselves in the playing situation. Yes, of course. It's I think it's better that the player solve problems for themselves, not just giving them advices from the outside like a joystick. So it's better that the player solve problems for themselves, think for themselves, and game forms are a good method to give the players the chance to solve problems for themselves. Yes, of course.
Okay, great. Another question. Let me introduce the question. Here it is. How do you compete with rival academies in terms of player recruitment? Do you work with a group of farming clubs? Do you have a kind of partner clubs spread all over Germany? Or do you focus in specific areas to do the scouting?
First of all, we try to find players in our region. So our main thing is that we say the player should not sit more time in the car than spend time on the pitch. So even in the younger years, so often clubs pick players from far away, but we say we want players in our region. They should not be more than 20, 30 kilometers away in the first years. But in the older stages, of course, we do our scouting nationwide, or then at least international scouting.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your answer. And thank you for the question, Olaf. Now, you talked about that working with youth. Now it's like you have to have the chance to have a perspective that what will be football in 10 years or 12 years or so. What do you believe that's going to be the profile of the future top athletes? Will be very different from the current one? Because every day we see that in the past, we would have those Brazilian players that always, you know, and now we have everything on academies where the players are not so creative, you know. But what do you believe that's going to be the player, the top player of the future? And how will be them be different from those that we have now, okay?
Yes, it's difficult to say what an athlete will need in the future, as we do not know what demands will be placed on them in the future. Therefore, it will be important that the athletes have a high degree of flexibility and creativity. These are very important points. And they must be able to adapt to constantly changing situations and find the best solution in the shortest possible time. The time is getting shorter, the pressure is getting higher. Yes, they have to use their technical and tactical skills with the best possible physically in a flexible and creative way. Yes, always creativity and flexibility. This is the game is changing and the situations are changing. It's like in the real life. And if you are flexible and creative, then you have the best chances to survive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, another question here now from Mohammed is asking, how do you deal with relative age effect and how to overcome late developer players? I think everybody is, well, it's a kind of a content that everybody wants to hear more about it. What is your solution for this, Kay?
I don't have a final solution for this. if I would, it would be great. But we will try to monitor the players. So we have regularly measurements of their weight and their height, and then we have a program which is try to find out the point where's the high peak velocity when they have the most expected growing. So and then we will try to we have a look at the method measure of the height, and then we will try to to compare the players. If you have a player which is early developed with a player which is late developed, and what is the perspective of these players if they are on the same level? What is if it's the early player on this level, the late developer on this level, and then we try to find out which player has the better perspective to be a professional player. So it's very hard to say this in an early stage of the years, but maybe in 1 or 2 months we are making now a research for this. We can say more to this.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for the question also, Mohamed. We have here another question now from Danny. Well, he says, apologies to remind you of this, but after Schalke's first team relegation, will there be any more youth players push forward or fast-tracked to the first team for next season? Will the strategy change because the team was relegated? So what do you think about this, Kay? If you have some comment to deliver.
It's hard for me to talk about the first team, sure. But I think Schalke was always a good address for young players. And if you go now the way to the second league, I think the chance for young players are not so bad. So yeah. This is, I think I could say okay. About the first team, but...
Okay, I understand that.
Let's see what happened.
Yeah, so let's talk about the coaches. We talked about players. And now, what is the profile of the coaches that you like to recruit or that Schalke usually recruit for their academy? Is there a specific profile, Kay?
I think it's not so easy. It's not so specific because the demands on the coach are becoming more and more complex, but specific at the same time. So you have both extremes. So this is why it's important to have a good and a working team. And you need specialists for maybe the physical department, for the mental department, the age range, and the technical things. But as is often in the case in life, a good mix of these parts is the best solution. And yes, I think if you have specialists for the one topics and then the generalists for the whole view, and then you need age experts, age group experts, and the good mix, it's the best thing you can have for a team. So maybe you have two or three coaches which build a really good working team.
Okay, perfect. So we have to talk about the hot topic about COVID-19. In your opinion, how will it impact the development of the players that are already in the process? I mean, how will it delay the entire development process of the players? Because at least here in Portugal, we stopped all the competitions and some practices during the 1 year almost. So I believe that has impact on your plan. How big is that impact, Kay?
Yes. First of all, let me say COVID-19 is a big challenge for all of us in these times. And first and foremost, it is about people's health and fighting the virus. Yeah. Now, that is why respecting the rules is the priority. Coming back to the players and their development, it is really a difficult time for us also. There's also a lack of competitions and regular training, and there's always constantly changing the requirements. So our coaches are really working hard to give the players the best training as possible, despite the restrictions, of course. We all hope that this gap in training and competition can be closed again in a few months, more or less, but fingers crossed. It's a really hard time, I think, and especially for the players in the under 19, they want to make the step in the first team. It's really, really bad that they cannot have a real match for more than 1 year. And I don't know if this is possible to close this gap.
And I would say, you were saying that everybody has this problem. But the truth is that about 2 weeks ago, I interviewed a guy that works in the academy of CSKA of Sofia in Bulgaria, and they didn't stop any competition. So the kids keep on playing and having the practices also. So maybe we will see some Bulgarian top players in the future, because they have one more year of practices, you know. So before we finish, I have two more questions. Well, I have here one from Mario. Let me just ask you this. Hi, Ricardo and Kay. How would Kay explain the playing philosophy of the Schalke Academy? What are they looking for in defensive phase of the game, and what in offensive phase of the game?
It's a big question. It's a really big question. And what should I say? Of course, we have a philosophy.
Yeah.
And I think this is a separate topic of a special live talk, maybe. Yeah. What can I say? We try to dominate the game in all of our age groups. We are not looking at our opponent. We try to make our game, to dominate the game, to build up from the short, build up short from the back, to have ball possession. And if we are not in possession, we try to press high and to get the ball early in the opponent's half. So this is, I think, the main points of our philosophy, but there are more details, you know.
Yeah, in our future online course, we'll have more details about it, right?
Of course.
Okay, my last two questions. First, do you have any interesting story that you would like to share with us? Have you prepared something for us?
As Schalke is a club with a lot of tradition and a deep connection to its fans and to its history. And there's not really just one interesting story, but probably thousands of stories. But there's one thing I find very meaningful that Schalke is doing. Schalke is also active internationally with many projects to promote players, coaches, and partners all over the world. And we have been to many continents and many different cultures to work with children, coaches, and clubs and show them our view of football.
Okay.
And this is a very exciting work. This is a very rewarding work. And to put it in a nutshell is football is the simplest language in the world, no matter where you are. And, this is one thing I can say. This Schalke makes it possible.
Okay, perfect. Finally, Kay.
you can call me Schalke, it's okay.
It's okay. You know, our community, many of them are, students. They are still studying to become coaches, you know, or scouts or analysts. And they find in some of our courses some information about it, you know. But with your experience, what kind of advices would you deliver to those that now want to start their career as coaches, scouts, or analysts, so they can achieve the success that you also have achieved, Kay? Do you have any tips that you would like to deliver to our audience that are looking to get into the coaching job?
Football is a wonderful field to work in. It offers many facets and possibilities. The sports combines passion and emotion. You can rise quickly, but fall again just as quickly. That's why you will need persistence and a strong will. To put it in the words of our under 19 coach Norbert Elgert, give everything but never give up.
Okay, thank you very much for your advice. It's quite useful, I'm sure. Okay, thank you very much for your time. It was a pleasure talking with you. It was a pleasure meeting you also. So I hope that we can keep on discussing these subjects in the future. And hopefully, when everything goes right again with the pandemic situation, we will start producing our online course and deliver some more information about the way that you work over there in Schalke. So thank you very much, Kay, and I hope that we can be together soon and discuss some more ideas, okay? Okay, thank you very much.
Of course we do. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.